I would like to talk a little bit about the parsha, even though we did have an entire parsha share this week. But there's just some points that I think are worth mentioning, timely messages for this week's parsha. You know, we talk about Avraham Avinu, and we paint the picture of Avraham Avinu as a man who was a Baal Chesed, which of course he was. And we paint the picture of Avraham Avinu as a man who was a Baal Kiruv. He was an unbelievable Makari. This week's parsha, we learned about his Chesed. Last week's parsha, we learned about his Kiruv. And that's kind of the way we look at Avraham Avinu throughout our lives, as a great Baal Chesed and a great Makariv, which are all great things to learn from, and obviously to aspire and to admire. But I think in last week's parasha, the Torah led us in on two little parts of Avraham Avinu's life that we need to perhaps tap into more than we think. You know, Chaim Balazhin tells us that the Avos are mamish what the word Avos means, fathers, parents, which means their DNA runs through our DNA. Avraham Avinu's DNA is in our DNA. I know it's hard for us to imagine that we could be like Avraham Avinu, but it is. His, whatever was pumping through his veins is pumping through our veins. Whatever he used to get overcome those 10 discernments, we also have. And therefore, whatever Avraham Avinu did, we too can do, and more than anything, probably should do. So there's an interesting point in the Torah. It tells us, I mentioned this in the Chumash, I just want to elaborate for a second, that when he's traveling and he gets to his point of destination, so the Torah tells us he pitches Sarah's tent first. Why? So Rashi says, he pitches her tent. And Rashi says her tent before his. Why? So the Sifzei Chum says, you know why? Because the person has to be mechabed his wife, Yosef Migufoy. You have to be mechabed your wife more than you have to be mechabed yourself. Which means, whose tent goes first? She does. Not you. Your her tent goes first. Because you have to be mechabed your wife more than you have to be mechabed yourself. Now, this is a message of Avraham Avinu saying, of course he was Avraham Avinu, the great Baal Chesed, the great Mekarev, this, but he was also a good husband. More than anything, he was a good husband. And he realized, and he valued his wife, and he realized that this is what proper etiquette is. That you don't make, you pitch your tent first, you pitch your wife's tent first. So despite all of Avraham Avinu's great characteristic traits, the Torah tells us, don't forget, more than anything, he was a good husband. And these are things that often we take for granted, especially when a person is doing great work for the kalal. He's a kalal man, he's a tzibur person. He doesn't have time for his wife, he doesn't have time for the kids. Well, Avraham Avinu realized that he still has to have time for his wife. There's an amazing story, not so clear if it's true or not, but if it's true, it's an amazing story. When Meir Shapiro was opening the Lublin Yeshiva, it was just as Yard said a few days ago, Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro was a chassidish. And he wanted to open up a chassidish-style yeshiva, but he wanted to look at the Litvish yeshivas as a background to how to open up a chassidish yeshiva. So he spent time in many of the different yeshivas checking out how the Litvishes do it. He went to Mir, he went to Radin, he went to Baranovich. He wanted to open up a chassidish yeshiva with the backdrop of how the Litvish yeshivas did it. So one story, which they say is true, it's a cute story, when he went to the Mir, the mirrors did not tuck where the tzitzis out. The mirrors all tucked its tzitzis in. My Rosh Hashiva, Abdullah Gebson's tzitzis was an Alta Mir. Even when he came to America, he never wore tzitzis out. He always had tzitzis tucked in. The Alta Mirs didn't tuck their tzitzis out. They had the tzitzis were tucked in. So Meir Shapiro was a chassidish. He comes and he sees everyone's tzitzis is tucked in. He goes, what's going on over here? So the Mir Talmidim pulled a shtickle trick on him, which wasn't nice. They told the Meir Shapiro, some of the Bochim don't wear tzitzis. That's why the tzitzis is tucked in. Okay, the Meir Shapiro said, okay, no, they don't wear tzitzis in the Mir. Let's fish a Bochim, they don't wear tzitzis. So Meir Shapiro goes back to Lublin. He goes back to his town and he sends the Mir a bunch of boxes of tzitzis for all the boys that don't have tzitzis. So Chatzko Levenstein, the Mashkiach, told the boys, he said, I'm going to tell you guys a yisoid for life. Don't say a joke to someone who doesn't get the joke. He mamas took you guys seriously. What are you guys doing over here? He mamas took you seriously. You guys don't wear tzitzis. He figured out, let's be Shabbachim, they don't wear tzitzis. So Meir Shapiro was a very, very special, a very, very loving yid. One last story about Meir Shapiro. In his yeshiva, he treated his talmidim like his children. He never didn't have children. And he had an infirmary. And his yeshiva, the Lublin yeshiva, there was an infirmary for the boys that weren't feeling well. So there was a boy that was in the infirmary, and he sees Meir Shapiro coming to him. He starts getting so nervous. This was in the Hamadiyah this week, if anyone read it. He sees the Meir Shapiro coming to him. The boy starts shivering and nervous and afraid. Meir Shapiro said, what's wrong? He said, I learned in the Mir, and in the Mir, when the Rashiva comes to you in the infirmary, it's because you're dying. That's the only time the Rashiva comes to you. You're dying. He's come to tell you, by the way, you're dying. So Meir Shapiro said, that's because in the Mir, they look at you like Talmidim. Here, I look at you like a child. If I can, I'm coming to tell you, it's all going to be okay. You'll be fine. Don't worry. It's a very different attitude. The Meir Shapiro's yeshiva was a very, very different attitude of how to produce Talmidim. He was a very, very loving person. So Chassidish is a loving person, very different than the typical Litvisha style that existed at that time. Meir Shapiro was in Germany. One last story about Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro was in Germany, spending time in the Ekesha community. And he was by Rabbi Breuer. And they asked him, and they said, "Nu, what do you think of our Yekesha community? What do you think of the Yekesha community?" So he said, "You know, I was walking by the grocery store, and there's a carton. There was in the freezer section. There was ice cream. I was under the hashkocha of the great Rav, and I think your kehillah is like ice cream. kosher, but frozen cold. And that was a real chassidish zing to the Yakisha communities. Okay. So Rav Meir Shapiro came to Shabbos to the Chafetz Chaim. He wanted to eat the Shabbos meal with the Chafetz Chaim. But he told the Chafetz Chaim, I'm only coming to the Shabbos meal if your wife doesn't join us. I don't sit with women, I don't eat with women, and your wife can't come to the table. Chafetz Chaim said, absolutely not. My wife is coming to the table. Well, you're not coming to the table if my wife's not coming to the table. Now, you know the Chafetz Chaim was a loving Jew, right? It's not a question of his love for another Jew. Chafetz Chaim would have bent over backwards for any Jew. But the Chafetz Chaim said, she's my wife. What do you mean she's not going to come to the table? Chas v'shalom. Of course she's coming to the table. Now, there's not sure if that's true, this story happened. But if the story happened, it happened when he was checking out the Radin Yeshiva en route to building his own yeshiva. But that's this realization. A person has to respect his wife more than anybody. My wife is a second-class citizen. You want to come to me for your Shabbos meal? By all means. But my wife is going to sit in the kitchen. That's not going to happen. Chafetz Chaim said, that's not going to take place. So that's lesson number one that we learn from Lloyd in this, Avraham Avinu in this expression. And the second lesson is what happens later on in the parasha. Him and Lloyd have a disagreement. A fundamental disagreement. The machloikis, you know, a real fundamental argument of how to look at Yerusha and how to look at Eretz Yisrael. Even though, again, it's not really a machloikis Lloyd and Avraham. It was really Roya Lloyd and Roy and Roya Avraham. But obviously, we know all good fights trickle down until it gets to whom it needs to get to. And he says, listen, we can't be together. We got to go our separate ways. But don't worry, if you need me, I will find you. And what happens? The moment Lloyd's in trouble, boom. Avraham Avinu is there, ready to save him. What is Avraham Avinu teaching us? We will come across family members that we don't agree with ideologically, religiously, morally, and we don't agree with them. And we probably shouldn't live next door to them. And we probably shouldn't go to them for every Shabbos meal. But if they need us, we better be there for them. Whether we agree with them or don't agree with them, we like their ideology, we subscribe, or maybe we don't even eat in their kitchen. But if they need us, we're going to be the first ones to be there. Family comes first. You got to be there for your family. They need you, you come there. They say, unbelievable story about Rabban Cutler. Rabban Cutler had an older sister. Rabban Cutler had an older sister that was a terrible, terrible anti-religious. Terrible. Right, they love to paint, this is one of my agendas with Jewish history, they love to paint this picture that, you know, in Europe, everyone's fantastic and everything was amazing. Reb Yaakov had no relatives that stayed from. Zero. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky had zero from relatives. Brothers and sisters that were from after he, you know, he came to America. None of them stayed from. Garner, zero. Reb Shimon had kids that didn't stay from. Like, we love to paint this picture that, you know, Judaism in Europe was just this perfect utopia world. Everyone just went to yeshiva, they lived 15 hours a day. Garnished, sheker, chazov, not true. I'm not saying there weren't great people, of course there were, but we paint a fake picture. So Aaron had a sister, he only had one sister, who was older than him. She was terribly, terribly anti-religious. She was a very smart woman, she was a mathematician. And she would plea and beg for Reb Aaron to come leave the stupid yeshiva and come join the college. She used to write letters to him in Slobodka, and the altar used to block these letters, intercept these letters. It wasn't really the altar, it was really Reb Ochber's son-in-law who used to do it. But okay, whatever, we'll leave it at that. And she would not let him talk to her, because she was such a terrible, terrible distraction. You know, she said at the end of her life, amazing, she said at the end of her life, when Reb Aaron was already Reb Aaron Cutler, she said, what a wasted brain. She said, Reb Aaron Cutler, what a wasted brain. He could have been a top-notch math teacher in college. What a wasted brain, okay? This is just to show you how clueless she was into what Reb Aaron Cutler gave to the world. Now, she, her entire life, was out to get Reb Aaron. Mamash, out to get Reb Aaron, beginning to end. Every day she was trying to bring Reb Aaron down. She got to survive the war. She ended up in France. She survived the war. Towards the end of her life, Reb Aaron spent a lot of time with her. He would visit her. He would tell his kids to go visit her. To the point when she was really not well, he brought her into his house, and he used to feed her by himself with his spoon. Mamash, feed her like a baby. This sister? You waste your time with this sister? She threw her hat on her head. Terrence says, no, family comes first. Whether or not you agree, you don't agree. And she was clearly out to get him. And Baron Cutler said, she's my sister, she needs help. So he would go visit her. I don't think she ever had children. I don't think she even got married. So he mommy spent a lot of time with this sister because my sister. Family's family. Avraham Avinu taught us in this week's parasha, family is family. We're not always going to agree with her family. We might not always get along with her family. But one thing family means is they gotta be there for each other. You know, I had my youngest sister, youngest of eight, so she got married during Corona this past Pesach. So we had a Zoom Sheva Brachas, not a halachic Sheva Brachas, a Zoom Sheva Brachas. So I spoke. So I told her chassan, I said, I want to tell you one thing about families. We're all here to use each other. You just got to figure out which sibling does what. I have two brothers that are doctors, two brothers that are rabbis. You just know what everyone does, because that's what a family is. We're all here to help each other. You got to know what everyone does. Everyone has their milas and their perks and what they can bring. So you just have to, when you learn a new big family, learn what you can get from everyone. It's not called using them. That's what family is here for. Family is here to help and to assist. And I really think that's what Avraham Avinu taught us in this week's parasha, the importance of family and the importance of wife and the importance of respect for each other. I think that's a very important message that's often overlooked when we think about Avraham Avinu. I just want to mention one last thing. This I did not mention the parasha here, but we are. It's getting late, and every energy, every breath gets more complicated as we go along here. But there was a yard site that took place this week. I don't mean Rachel's. Of course, Rachel's yard site deserves a lot of attention. But I believe on the 8th day of Cheshvan was the yard site of Nachshon Waxman. I don't know how many of you remember Nachshon Waxman or the story of Nachshon Waxman, but it's worth mentioning because in this week's parasha, the Torah reminds us about who Yishmael is. The Torah tells us about Yishmael. It's going to be a pera adam. It's going to be yadei bakil. Everyone's going to hate him. He's going to wreak havoc. And sadly, we've seen over the years, and we continue to see, sadly, that bracha or haftacha b'kadosh baruch hu come true. And on, I believe it was the 8th day of Cheshvan in 1994, there was a soldier, Nachshon Waxman, that was returning home from one of his, something in army related, and he was hitchhiking, which was very common at that time. Just to think about how far the Arabs go just to get Jews. So these Arabs dressed up as Jinn, they put on a yarmulke, they had Sfarim in the dashboard, they're playing Jewish music. So obviously he thought it was safe to go. And we all know the story that they captured him. And their ultimatum was they wanted to free, I think, 250 terrorists by the end of the week. And his parents tried so hard to speak to everyone, to Clinton and to all different governments to get involved. And they made unbelievable strides in Yiddishkeit. Many people that Shabbos, Friday night, lit candles. There was a big asifa at the Kaisel. There was a lot of tefillah, and a lot went in to try to save this boy's life. And the night before the week was up, the ultimatum was up, the Israeli army found out where he was. He was mamish in Eretz Yisrael. He was in Israel proper, 10 miles away from his home. And they knew he was behind a very strong door. But when they got there, they realized it was a double iron door, which required so much more detonation to be able to blow up the wall. By the time they blew the wall, it made such a commotion, the Arabs were no longer surprised, and right then and there they killed him. Another soldier also was killed, and Nebuchadnezzar was lost. But perhaps the takeaway from that episode is probably the drasha that his father gave. If anyone remembers, his father gave such a drasha that still is remembered ad yom hazeh. His father spoke to the masses, and he told everyone, he said, we all daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that my son should be saved. And Hashem heard our tefillas. But sometimes the answer is also no. Sometimes you ask your parent, the parent says no also. You ask your parents, can I have this? And the parents say no. We asked Hashem for something, and Hashem said no. It's such a powerful, powerful message in life. We're going through a lot of difficulties now. People are always needing Yeshua's and Bracha. And we daven and we have mass tefillas. But sometimes the answer is no. For whatever reason, the answer needs to be no. Sadly, we saw this more recently with the three boys that were captured. It's such a massive, beautiful gathering of Jews. And then after that, we saw what happened. So Nebuch, we go through this. We go through this a lot as Yidden. But I think his father's message, I think, is so strong. It rings in my ears on a constant basis. Sometimes the answer is no. Doesn't mean Hashem didn't hear you. Doesn't mean it went to spam or to junk mail. It was received. And all those women who lit candles for the first time and all those Jews who kept Shabbos for the first time, it was there. Don't worry. It was up there. But sometimes the answer has to be no. Again, this week's parasha, we're introduced to the evils of Yishmael, who sadly continue to wreak havoc on our lives and the lives of our Achenu B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And we only hope and we pray that the only way we're going to see an end to all of that and all the other sufferings that we see in this world and our lives is going to be with the ultimate arrival of Mashiach. We hope and we pray for his arrival very soon. Okay, let's get back to the sugya that we are holding.
Rabbi, yes. When they posted the Mara Mekomos, it unmuted. So can everyone that's on Zoom please mute again? Otherwise, I hear everyone else's what's going on. So, if you can't mute everyone, can everyone please mute? Thanks.
Okay, I think I just muted everyone. Okay. So, we're holding
yes,
over here.
Thanks.
Okay, everybody. So, we're holding over here.
Rabbi.
Yes. Okay, today's learning should be for a Fuah Shleima for Esther Sarah Bas.
Chaya
Pesel B'soich Sha'ar Choylei Yisrael. Sadly, there are many people who still need refuahs for different things, corona-based, not corona-based. There's a lot of pain and suffering. We have a big week coming up, everybody, say election week. I'm not going to get political now. I did a little bit on the Chumash here for those who listen, but it's a big week. It's a serious, serious week for the Jewish people and for the American people and for Jewish Americans as well. It's a big week. Again, I'm not here to... What's wrong? Huh? No, it's every mask that I use. I have no hatzlacha with. Emetz Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should send us the right shliach. Who is he? I don't know. I don't know who the right shliach for us is. It sounds like it's probably Donald Trump. The way he poses and the way he's talked in the past, I think he's the best for Klai. So someone called me up last night. Again, I don't mean to get off track. Talmud called me up last night. He said he doesn't want to vote for Donald Trump. He personally cuts certain programs that affect his life, and he doesn't want to vote for him. Does he have a chiyuv to vote for him? So it's a loaded question. There's a lot to talk about. But I told him, Bekitzer, I said, if you lived in Florida or Pennsylvania, where your vote actually made a difference, I'd say yes. But being that you live in New York and your vote's not making a difference, he's going Democratic anyways. So just a question of the politicians knowing that you voted. Okay, we could talk about that. But I do believe, B'lev Shalom, that I think he presents the best for Klal Yisrael, the best, not even for Klal Yisrael, I think the best as an American. Forget Klal Yisrael, forget it. I don't mean to say forget Eretz Yisrael, but put Eretz Yisrael aside. As an American, I feel more comfortable if he wins than if the Democratic Party takes over. So we'll daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Aguda has some form of a tefillah tomorrow, I think. I don't know if that... right? You guys are doing it here? Israel? No, Aguda, you don't reach it. Okay. So I guess National Council didn't endorse it. Okay. All you have to do is they're having some form of asifas. Tell them, because tomorrow is the last day of the Bahab. Another reason. Okay. In any case, everybody said, whoever's going to win, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send him as the right shliach. But again, as I remind people and I remind myself, you know, we are still in Galus. Jews lived in Poland for 900 years. Now, obviously, the life in Poland was not like life in America. This is another thing people like to mistake. Life in Poland wasn't peachy rosy. We had our ups and downs. We had our pogroms. We had our, you know, attacks. We didn't have much rights and liberties, but for 900 years, we lived in the country. Rami Shapiro Grad was on the parliament. You know, we had. Now we have a nice, you know, Jared, one's a, you know, nice firm boy also there. But that doesn't mean that that's forever. And nothing is forever. We know that the Galus is an experience that Baruch Hashem has been so far very, very positive. It's not been such a hard Galus for us. We haven't suffered like our grandparents suffered, or great-grandparents, or other Yidin suffered. Mitzvah Hashem, because Baruch Hashem send the right shliach who should guide us and should lead us, and we should all be good, and it should all be safe, and ultimately bring us to the Gula Shlem. Okay. Okay, we're holding over here in the Mishnah. And again, if you remember the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in the Perek, we started off. Let's just see the beginning, and then we'll come back to it. The Mishnah said, "Elu nairi sheishlam knas." The following women have knas. The following women. We're focusing on the women. Who are the women? Habal amamzeres valanasina valakusis habal agiyaris valashvi valashivko sheniftu. So the question again is, I'm sorry for that's question number two. We started this last week. We didn't finish it up. Why are we focusing on the women? Shouldn't the Mishnah have written Elu? Elu haboyel oisam nashim chayev v'sliknas. Shouldn't we be focusing on the man? The man is the guy who does the act. The man is the one who's paying out of pocket. Why are we focusing on the girls? That's the Chassam Sofer's kasha. So let's just look number two. The koy haboyel says the Chassam Sofer. The lashon of the Mishnah habo means he is living with these women. So who's the person doing the action in the Mishnah? It's the man, the boyel. So therefore, fact Chassam Sofer, havalei lemeima ve'elu hamachayovim knas habo aliyu. So why didn't the Mishnah say, instead of which girls receive the knas, it should have said which men have to pay the knas? Elu chayovim leknas. These men have to pay if they live with this girl, that girl, that girl. Why is the focus on the girl and not on the man? That's the Chassam Sofer's kasha. Where? You know, but that's not the payment. That's the action. Yeah, it's part of his kasha. Exactly. That's what sometimes he says. Habal amamzeris, he means we're talking about the boil. So we're talking about the boil, so let's continue talking about the boil. Habal amamzeris, hu chayev, whatever it is. So sometimes he gives, seems like two answers. The first answer we saw last week, and the second answer I want to talk more about this week. So he writes, Yeshloimah de boil, lilmoy de loinema hapugoma me'elu le kablua knas. Maybe you say that these women don't get the knas. Mekoshkin kusis. You're going to give the knas to a guy. Why should the guy get a knas? Maybe the pshat is that really he has to pay the knas, but they don't really deserve to receive the knas. So what do you do with the knas? Give it to tzedakah. The Gemara says, "I have mina baba kama." Kamash malon yesh lahem knas lahem ba'atzmon. So it says the Chassam Sofer, the chiddush of the Mishnah is no, they deserve it. These girls deserve the payment, because we spoke about this last week heavily. Is the knas about the man or is it about the girl? Is it because the girls deserve compensation for what happened to them, even though they're going to get tsar, and they're going to get boishes and pegam, but they deserve another compensation for whatever reason? Or knas is a penalty. Penalty means you need to lose. Why? Because we can't continue you doing this. If men are going to go around being ma'anis or being mafata girls, we don't have a society. So we got to put this to an end. But is there any reason the money should go to them? No. For the same price, give the money to tzedakah. Kamash v'lon our Mishnah that the money goes to them. Which means, l'cha'ira, that you are somehow hurting them by doing this to them on top of the regular money that they're going to receive. Okay, that's what we spoke about last week about who really deserves the kanas. But I want to talk about the next answer. Im kein, yesh loyimar kamash malon shaknash al abas v'loy shal av. Dr. Chassam Sofer, what you can also say is that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the money really goes to her, not to her father. What I mean like is that we mentioned before that the whole knas is only if the girl's a naira. That's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. The halach is that anything a 12-year-old to a 12 and a half-year-old girl gets goes straight to dad. Called shvach nurel lovi. We learned that in Kiddush in the first parak many years ago. So Shaila over here is, how does this work with the knas money? Guy goes over to a 12-year-old girl and he's ma'anis her. He rapes her. So the Bezin says, give 50 shkolm. So he puts the 50 shkolm in her pocket, in her hand, and then dad comes over and says, thank you very much. Goes into my pocket. Because whatever you get, I get. Or maybe the money goes straight to dad. Straight to dad. She's not involved. She is not a participant in the payment. She's merely the sibas hadavar. Let's say, for example, someone broke my chair. Would you give the money to the chair? You don't give the money to the chair. The chair's not the baldover. The chair's the chevtza that created the hischaivus. So the girl is merely the object that creates the hischaivus. The payment goes to dad. So this is a hakira that one could actually discuss in our Mishnah. How does the payment work? Does the payment first go to her, and then whatever she gets goes to dad? Or does the payment go straight to dad because she's not even a seba for the payment? She's not the reason. She doesn't deserve the payment. She's not a baldover. She's like the chair that you broke. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. The chiddush of the Mishnah said, no, these girls actually get knas. The payment goes to them. But then, after the payment goes to them, dad gets it, not because dad etzem has rights to the payment. Dad only gets it because anything she gets, dad gets. For the same price, if she walks down the street and finds $1 million, dad also gets that money. Is that because dad has rights to the money? No, because there's a din, kol shvach nurei alovi. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, that's what our Mishnah is coming to tell me. The Mishnah is coming to tell me that's not the pshat. Knas is not really given to the father. Knas is really given to her. But since anything that she gets goes to her father, Mela ends up by her father. So learns the Chassam Sofer. We'll come back to that in a second. We'll see an afkamina in 1 second. Now, just on a side note, this does not work with the Rambam we saw last week. The Rambam last week told us that the reason why there's knas is because you're going to make it harder for her to get a shidduch. So that sounds like the Rambam said it was going to the father. The Rambam, if you remember last week, the Rambam in Parshas Neshpatim, kemat sounded mefurish that the lumdus is that really the knas goes to her, goes to him, not to her. But this is the chakira that the Chassam Sofer is bavarning. So the $1 million question is, what afkamina is there? So take a look in the Rambam in number 3. The Rambam writes in number 3 in Hilchos Nairo. Perik Beis Halacha Yud Gimel. Zok the Rambam. Amro Loi Anasti Oisi. She goes over to the guy and she says, you raped me. Right? Today it's a very strong claim. Today it's a girl walks over and says that. She's taken very, very seriously. Right? Goes over to the man. She says, you raped me. For who am I Loi? Caleb Asiti. His answer back is, no, it's consensual. This is Mamash. Maisim B'chol Yom. Hopefully not in the Jewish, our community, but it's Ma'is B'chayim in the secular world. The girl goes over to the guy. It happens a lot on college campuses. A lot of big issue over there about what's consensual, what's not consensual. They're still fighting about this. I ain't shum in many of the court cases. Okay, not for now. Right, so she goes over to the guy and says, you raped me. He says, no, it was consensual. It was mefateh. Okay, so what happens now? So Zok Rambam, ha'reze nishba shvua satero. He has to make a shvua. Why is he making a shvua? Because it's a moide b'miktsas. Why? Because an oynis carries 3 payments. Boishes, pegam, and tsar. The fateh, we said there's no tsar from the fateh. So it's just boishes and pegam. So in essence, over here, he's admitting to something. He's admitting I owe her something, not as much as she's claiming. She's claiming 3 payments. He says, no, I only owe you 2 payments. So Zokti Rambam, that's what we call a moide b'miktsas. He's admitting to half of the denying the other half. So there's halacha, moide b'miktsas. He has to make a shvur. So Zokti Rambam, he swears. So what does he do? He swears on the tsar, because that's the point of disagreement. No, her taina was that you were modest me. So
that's not her taina. She's not talking about what she wants back. She's talking about what happened.
Yeah, but that's. I mean, she wants that out of him.
By definition, what is that taina is what happened.
Right, and therefore that taina claim.
Talking about what the result of what happened.
I mean, it's always like that. No, but every time, every taina has a result to it. So here the taina carries a result. The result is you owe me now tsar b'gam.
That's different than you owe me $100 and I owe you $50.
Why?
Because it's the act that happened. I lend you money here. He's saying,
He said, I did have relations with you.
But it's not the act. It's not the act.
It's an act that carries some similar payments. It's the same. It's an act that, being that was consensual, carries less payments, but still some payments. So the Rambam says he swears on the tzar, because that's the point where they're arguing. So the Rambam, that's moed b'miktsas. No, it doesn't seem so crazy. Frek derived, absolutely not. Frek derived, this is not moed b'miktsas. Why is it derived? Because of derived, ain't kan shvua. This man will not swear anything. The fisha ain't kan toiveya. Who's claiming? Shatashlumim ain't on shalah. The payments don't go to her. Who is she? Who is she to claim? Yes, no, maybe so. She's not the Baal HaDvarim. Zok the Hafla, number 5, brought down by the Sefer Sukkas David. Very good. That's what we're going to see in a second. So the Sefer Sukkas David, Rabbi Yisai, if I quote from it a lot, is written by Yidreb David Kviat. He was a Rebbe in the Mir Yeshiva for many, many years. A big Talmud Chacham. He wrote a terrific Svarim. His Svarim on Chumash is fantastic. He has long, long pieces. You got to sit through them. They're fantastic. He has a lot of very, very nice Torah. David Kviat, a Rebbe in the Mir Yeshiva. So he writes in Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So he writes in number 5. He says that this machloik is Rama and Ravid is Tali and Archakira. Very geshmak. He calls him that flaw. Why? Is the Isha the Baal Dover or the Isha is not the Baal Dover? If the Isha is the Baal Dover, the Rama is 100% right. He made a claim. She made a counterclaim. They're having a discussion. They're both in the right to have that discussion. But the Ravid, hell, she's not. She's like the chair. Would you say Maidi b'miktsas to a chair? A guy walks over and I say you broke my chair, and he said, "Well, but the chair says otherwise." Who's the chair? The chair's not a Baal Dover. The Isha is not a Baal Dover. She has no right to weigh in on this matter. Therefore, says the quotes from the Hafla. Says the Hafla, the Machloek is Rama and Ravid is telling this Chakir. Explains it beautifully. Number 5, he says because of Hafla, the Varam Machloek is Rama and Ravid. The Rambam Yisbar shehi a Baal Dover. The Rambam understands that she's a Baal Dover. Mishum de'av minei de'de kazach, because really the money should go to her. How can you say she's a Baal Dover if the money goes to him? That's only because he gets it secondarily, because kol shvach nurei lovia. But yes, he brings a raya from a Gemara. Then in order to be moed b'miktsas, you have to be the Baal Dover in the story.
So on this side, it would have to be that the father initiates the claim.
Correct. Right. That's right. The father would have to say no. The father would go over to the guy and say, "I heard you raped my daughter." And the guy would say back to the father, "No, I didn't rape her. I was my father." That's right. Correct. That's right. Correct. But the way the Rambam structured the case, where she does the talking, the Ravid takes issue. Yeah.
Why is the Rambam? I don't understand why the Rambam is not mentioning the Knas at all.
Because Moed b'Knas is going to be more complicated. The Knas might not be chayiv because you admitted to it. He's admitting. So if you admit to a knas, you generally potter. So that's why we're not talking. We're talking about boishes pagam, which is not on the it's not in the knas party. What?
Doesn't the reaction should be that
No, this is just this is breaking news. It just happened. Right? The guy goes, this all just happened. They didn't get to Bezdin yet. They still haven't worked out all the nitty gritties. This is mamash, fresh breaking news. It's just happened. So Zok Daflo, very geshmak, that the Machloek is a Rambam and Ravid, is telling this Chakir. If you hold that she's a Baal Dover, if she's a Baal Dover, she can make a claim and create a Moed b'miktsas. Why is she a Baal Dover? Like the Chassam Sofer said, the money really goes to her. The money never goes to her financially, practically, it always goes to the father. That's a technical problem, because Kol Shavach Nurei Lovi. Mashenk in the Ravid.
She's a Baal Dover, she could be
Moichel. Oh, good, that's the next topic we have to get to. If she's Takli Baal Dover, then why can't she be Moichel? And sometimes she is Moichelot. We'll see, when the father's not in the picture, Tak is the Mechel. But we're going to get to that either today or a different time as well. So that's the Sukkas David quotes this Hafla, very geshmakish tikkul Torah, that the Machloek is Rambam and Ravid is totally an archakir about who really deserves the Knas. Okay.
So if the money is given in order to make it easier for the father to marry her, do you consider Baal Dover because he's a direct beneficiary of that money?
No, the Baal Dover is still the father. The father is still the one who's got to marry her off. Again, she's like the chair. The chair needs to be sold. It's really the father's obligation to marry her off. Again, it's like a chair. I don't mean to sound so negative, but you got to sell the chair. It's your job to sell the chair. Obviously, the chair needs to go get out of here, but she's merely just the cheftza in the situation. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Aleph Beis, the Mishnah. And the Mishnah starts off, Elu Nayir Sheyesh and Knas. These girls have Knas. We now know why the Mishnah focuses on the girls. So, the first issue over here is Rashi, number 6. Look, Rashi. Elu Nayir, Davka Nayir, it's only a Nayir, Misha Hevi Shtey Sarif, once she grows 2 hairs, Achet Tibogar, until she becomes a Begeris. And that 6 months should be Nairus Labagris. Again, the whole Knas is for 6 months. The whole story. This whole Perek. What we're going to learn now for however long is all talking about a 6 months gap between 12 and 12 and a half. Zok Rashi. Aval Ktana Ubegeres Ein Lam Knas. But if she's either under 12 or above 12 and a half, no Knas. Nothing to talk about. This whole perek is for a girl who's 6 months period. This mamash, this time. 6 months between 12 and 12 and a half. Fine.
Damages, though, apply for outside of this period.
Damages. But damages would be... Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But knas is only 12 and 12 and a half. Yeah. So let's see another Rashi. Dr. Rashi, here's some knas. Im onso odom. If someone is ma'aneser, he rapes her. Nasan la'aviyah chamishim kest, if you give the father 50 silver coins, because it's like it says in the Torah, v'nasan iyesh ha'shechif. So all the achronim are bothered with a kasha. What's the obvious kasha? Why did Rashi pick? Oinus. We know there's oinus u'mefate. There's two parshas in the Torah. There's oinus and mefate. If you're ma'anis a girl, the halacha is you got to give her 50 shkolim and you got to marry her. If you're mefate a girl, you got to give her 50 shkolim and option to marry her. If you want or if she wants. If neither want, no marriage. And if you marry, then you don't have to pay the knas. But if you don't marry, then you got to pay the knas. So why does Rashi focus only on oinus and he leaves out mefate? That's the kasha of the achrein. But before we even get to that, the Shittim Kubetz has a different kasha. Why did the Mishnah talk about boishes of pagam? Remember, we keep on saying that there's three payments made for a mafata. If you're mafata, a girl, you got to pay the knas, you got to pay the embarrassment, and the pagam, the effect that happens to her. And if you're ma'anis, a girl, you got to pay tsar. So why is there no mention of this in our Mishnah at all? Why is the Mishnah kind of glance over that? It should be very important. It's the payments that you have to make. The Mishnah should have said, and by the way, besides the knas, there's also boishes of pagam. Maybe.
That's why I asked.
But again, but why? Still, why did the Mishnah at least let us know what the payments are? Besides, meaning, it's only from the Mishnah that all you have to do is to pay a knas. But there's more than just knas. There's other payments also. So why are you limiting it to knas?
Yeah, but not in Naro.
Payments are by.
But not in Naro.
No, the Boishes of Pagam is by all then.
Yes. So that's not teaching you anything. Here is teaching you
excess. Okay. Good. So let's see.
By the way,
yes, Michael.
Rabbi, is there any time to say that even though she's in Naro, when it comes to knas, so then it's a question whether it goes to the father to her. But when it comes to boishes of pagam, then it should not maybe go more so to her because it's an inyan of her, it's not her father.
Again,
but
nothing ever goes to her. She has no yad. Kol shvach nerel avia. She can work 20 hours a day and get a big salary. It's still going to go to the father. She has no financial. Yes.
Something even if it's a din in her body.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Again, she works. Girl works for 20 hours a day. The father doesn't work. The father sits home and watches, cable TV. He still gets her money because he has a yad in her, as we spoke about when we did the first pack. So the Shita Mikubetz is number 7 answers this kasha. He says, "Ein lahakshoyz da mai loikotoni nami boishes begam te boigeres nami yesh the boishes begam ba'oynis because a boigeres also has boishes begam at least by oynis." And over here we're talking about Naira. It's the answer that you guys suggested. That since the Mishnah is focusing on only what payments a Naira have, and therefore we didn't get involved. But then he gives another answer. He says, his second answer is that we only mention those knosses that are explicitly written in the Torah. It's an amazing thing. Look in Parashas Mishpatim, it doesn't say a word about Baishas Pagam. It does not say you have to make Baishas Pagam. The Gemara learns it out from Joshua's. It's not Mefurish. It says, the Mishnah only wanted to list those things that are Mefurish B'Torah. And since this is not Mefurish B'Torah, that's why the Torah does not mention it. He says that's Pshat and Rashi. Sometimes we do it that way. Sometimes we do that, right? So he writes at the end, V'zeo shekosev Rashi she'esham knasim odom onzeg d'chsiv v'nosan isha shoichav. He said that's what Rashi wanted with those last words. Why does Rashi tell us what it says in the Torah? Zok t'shita, to show you that I'm only mentioning that that's written in the Torah and not that that is not written in the Torah. That's his addition to Rashi. Okay. Now if you look over here, the kasha that we started off with was why is Rashi talking about Oinus and not Mefata? So if you look at number 8 in the Sefer Zera Yitzchak, he writes, I don't know who he is, he says, Hiksha, Balechem Aviram, Damai Pirish Rashi, Damai Ba'Oinus, Vilei Pirish Mefata. Why does Rashi pick Oinus and not Mefata? So he gives the same answer that Shidimu Kabetzis. Vili Nir, Kivin the Ikar, Aknaz Kosa Ba'Oinus. We mentioned this when we started off 2 weeks ago. If you open up a Chumash, it doesn't say explicitly by Mefata you have to pay Knas. It says, and if he doesn't marry her, you'll do like what you do by Oinus. So therefore, same teretz. Since it's not mefurish in the Torah, the knas of mefata, but rather the knas of oinus is mefurish. That's why the Mishnah spoke about. That's why Rashi spoke about oinus instead of mefata, because oinus is ksiv behedya b'kra, but not mefata. That's his answer. Now the Pnei Yeshua gives another answer, which takes us into a little bit of a lomdish discussion over here. The Pnei Yeshua says, "Do you know why Rashi picked oinus and not mefata?" Zok the Pnei Yeshua, because there are certain women in our Mishnah that if the Mishnah would be talking about mefata, there would actually not be a payment. Why? Says the Pnei Yeshua, number 9, Rashi had to learn we're talking about oinus. What was one of the cases in our Mishnah? He had a girl that wasn't Jewish, and then she became Jewish. Right, that was the case. Under 3 years old, she wasn't Jewish, And then she became Jewish after that. So she became Jewish, and she's 3, 4, 5 years old. And then when she gets to 12, she's a Geiris, right? At 12, some guy is Ma'aneser or Mefater. So the Mishnah says you have to pay her. Frank, depending on Yeshua, she has no father. She has no father. If the Mishnah would be talking about Mefater, who would the money go to? Go to her. She's Meichlet. She consented to live with this guy. The Gemara assumes, and this is a big discussion, we'll get to more about it, that by Mefata, you can't pay if you consented to it. You agreed. You signed on the dotted line. So therefore, you can't have knas. You could have knas if the father's in the picture, because the father says, I never agreed. No one asked me if I let my daughter live with this man. Obviously, this is very taller in our Chakira, who the money's really going to. Okay, but Zab to Pnei Yeshua, in that case, where there's a Giyairis, so who does the money go to? It goes to her. There's no father. So if it would be Mefata, it should be Pater, because she's Meichel. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, the Mishnah had to learn we're talking about Oinus. Because if we're to be talking about Mefata, the Mishnah doesn't work. Because in that case of a Shivcha or a Giyairis, there is no father in the picture. If there's no father in the picture and it's Mefata, there is no Knas. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's why Rashi knew we had to be talking about Oinus. So the Pnei Yeshua is reading inside. He says, "V'nir the Hochach Rashi Farish the Eibah Oinus Mishum the Giyairis Mishcheres. Do the Shech move in us and Lavi and Eiro. There's no father over there." Who's the knas going to? It's going to themselves. If we talking about a mafot, she's meichlet. So if she's meichlet, there's no knas. So how do you read it into the Mishnah? The answer is the Mishnah is talking about einus. So explains the Pnei Yeshua.
Can she claim because she was seduced that it's really not what I wanted?
Again, so this is the balancing act of mafate. On one hand, we say there was consensual. On the other hand, the Torah says you got to pay. So there's on some level there was enough to say that she doesn't get a knas because at the end of the day she consented to this act.
But only if she marries, is it really like as if she really had her mind set on?
Okay, again we'll talk much more as we go on.
The word talks about.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot more about what happens if she's meichlet. But this is just superficial teretz from the Pnei Yeshua. Now. The Torah says, "V'nasan lavi anara." Says you give it to the father.
No, I'm saying in the case of the
yeah, the father. Doesn't have a chosim in her anymore. Once she becomes Jewish, so her father's not Jewish, so he loses all the rights to her. Keresh and his guy. There might be al taki shalom and other things, but strictly halachically speaking, he has no rights in her anymore. Now keep this Pnei Yeshua in mind, because I want to say a shtickle Torah like this. Let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. We had the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about a case of Habo al Eishes Ochiv. A guy is Ma'anis or Mefata his Eishes Ochiv, his brother's wife, sister-in-law. Zak Rashi, number 6, very important Rashi. Eishes Ochiv, Sheniskat Shaloi La Ochiv, she had Kedushin to your brother, Vigirsha, and then your brother divorced her. She'ein Ba Misa Elokaris. What's Rashi getting at over here? Rashi's bothered with a big question. How could you be chayiv any payments for being ma'anis or being mafat your sister-in-law? She's married. Married women are eishes ish. If you live with an eishes ish, you get karis. You get mis and bezdin. If you get mis and bezdin, there's no knas. So what's the whole mishnah? So Rashi says, no, I figured it out. So Rashi, she was married to your brother. She was, but they split. They got divorced. That's fair. So why does Rashi write that? To get around the problem of she being an eishes ish. But l'chayr, there's still another kash in Rashi. First of all, what could have been a much simpler answer than divorce? Brother died. So why did Rashi go the Gerushin route instead of the divorced route? So what's the simple answer?
Yavam.
There might be a Yavam issue. If it's taka true that this guy's brother's wife is now left on Almana and the brother died, so she is now maybe up for Yibam. Maybe, we don't know. If it's Yibam, you're allowed to do Yibam Bakorcha. So if he was Ma'anis or if he was Mefat to her, B'derech Yibam, there's no payment anyways. So we're back to square one. How do you learn the Mishnah? So that might be why Rashi decided to talk about Gerushin instead of Misa. You avoid the whole Yibam issue. Now, that doesn't answer the whole question. Why does Rashi say Sheniskatsha? Why couldn't Rashi say Shenissus? Why does she have to be only Kedushin? Why can't he have been married Nisuin to his brother? So we saw last week, very good. Everyone remembers from last week. We saw last week. There's a big machlokes between him. If you have a woman who's married, she had Erisin and Nisuin, and then her husband dies. Now she's single. Some guy is ma'anisar. Is there knas? So some Rishonim say, of course not. She probably lived with the man, and she's now no longer a basula, and we learned many times that it's only for a basula. Some Rishonim say, no, we have Edim. If there are Edim that say she was not nivula, she still gets the money. Some Rishonim say, no. Even if there's Edim, she has a shame nivula. We reminded about that last week. So some people want to tell her that's Pshat Rashi. Rashi said, niskatsha to get away from that issue of maybe she's nisuin. We stay clear of that. They just had kedushin. There's no problem. But look at the ritva for a second. Number 10. Zok the ritva. Says the ritva, you have to know that when it says in our Mishnah, your brother's wife or your aunt, it has to be that their marriage is no longer active. It has to be that they already got divorced or they're widowed. Because if they're still married, you're going to get the death penalty. Why can't it be that the guy died? Because if the case will be that this woman had Erisin and Nisuin and then her husband died, ain't lo knas. Shari knas la atzma. Bekiva de mefuti hi achalte. Says the Ritva, and it can't be after Erisin. I'm sorry, it can't be after Nisuin. If it would be after Nisuin, it's machlokes in the Gemara that many sheets in the Gemara hold that once a girl goes through Nisuin, she's on her own. She's on her own. That's it. She leaves her father's rishos. So if her husband were to die, she's a free bird. She's on her own. So if what would have happened was that this girl was married to someone's brother, and they had Erisin and they had Nisuin, and then the brother drops dead, and then you go and ma'anis her, mafata her, says the Ritva, that money would go to her. Because dad's out of...
Even if she's 12.
Even if she's 12, because once she gets married, she's a free bird. So says the Ritva, that's why...
Not to revert back.
No, right. It's the Gemara. But this sheet of the Ritva, assume you don't go back to your father's house. Once you get married, you're on your own. So Zok the Ritva, because the Ilun is Arma Lo'in is Garish Minan Asuin. If Rashi or some Rishayim would have learned that the case is that they had a full marriage, and then the husband died, Zok the Ritva, it's not going to work for Mefate. Sheknasa La'atzma. Vekima de Mefute Hiachalte. Elohach v'mayaskina kishin is Arma Lo'in is Garish Minan Erisin. So the Ritva is telling us, why do I want the Mishnah to be Erisin and not Nasuin? Because if the Mishnah would be Nasuin, the Knas wouldn't go to her. The Knas would go to her, and then she's Mefate, she's Meichelet. So what's the case? It must be talking about a case of where the brother died and he has children. The brother already had children from another marriage, or this woman had children before. She's not a Yavama, and therefore everything is fine.
What's the problem with this case if it turns out that she's getting the money? What's the problem?
No, the Ritva is trying to figure out why does it have to be, why can't it be after Nisuin? So after Ritva, because it would be after Nisuin, then the money would go to her, and then you'd be Pater. Because after the suing, you leave the dad's rishus. Because she's Michael, like the Phoenician told us.
Well, it's her option there.
You just have the cases where she has the suing and she had a child, and so it's not even. It's not the case where it's just Erisin. There's no.
Right. The case over here is there was just Erisin. But now you got a problem on your hands. One second. So why is there no Yibum? Terrence says this man had children from another wife.
Oh.
Okay, fine. Leave that aside. Now, let's go back to our Rashi for a second, Rabbi Yisrael. Rashi told us that the Mishnah is talking about Oynis and not Mefate. So if the Mishnah is only talking about Oynis, so why couldn't the Mishnah be talking about a case where Shitaka had Nisuin also? The Ritva's whole time was if you have Nisuin, then she goes into her own Rishos, and she goes into her own Rishos, she's Meichelet. That's only if the Mishnah is talking about Mefate. But if the Mishnah is talking about Oynis, like Rashi said, so let it be talking about a case where the dad's out of the picture. Oynis, she's not Meichel Knas. So L'chayim, you're going to have to say that according to this, the reason why Rashi didn't pick Nisuin is not like this Ritva. The Ritva says the reason why we didn't pick Nisuin, because if it would be Nisuin, and it would be Mefate, she'd be Meichel. But the Mishnah is not talking about Mefate, Rashi told us. So the Chayra, this is a starker right, that the only way to understand Rashi, to why Rashi picked Eris and not Nisuin, is not like the Ritva. The Ritva is suggesting I could have picked Eris, I picked Eris and not Nisuin, because if it would be Nisuin, and then dad's out of the picture, and she's Meichel, there would be no Knas. That's only if you learn the Mishnah talking about Mefate. But since Rashi, the Shitas is learning the Mishnah only by Oynis, so if the Mishnah is by Oynis, there's no issue of being Meichel, so why did Rashi still say it's Niskacha and not Nisarsa? Because Rashi holds, if it would be Nisuin, he holds like those Rishayim, that once there's Nisuin, she can no longer have Knas. So therefore Rashi had to bend over backwards and make the Mishnah talking about Dafka, Kish and Niskach. I think that's what
he has to be seeing in his Mefata, he has to be.
The Ritva sounds like that. He said Rashi, the Mishnah, he's learning the Mishnah's open.
And they're each exclusively.
Right?
Each exclusively.
So I think, according to this Ritva, we have a stark raya how Rashi held with regard to that issue. Okay.
You have a raya that the Ritva holds that it's Nisuin and she was not, and you have Eidim that she didn't live with her husband.
Right. You go the other way also, right? And Achanam, plug back to Ritva. Okay.
Yeah,
100%. Girl's going to need a lot of therapy. Okay. Let's see one more answer about the Kash. Again, the Kash is, why does Rashi pick Oynis over Mefate? So take a look at number 11, the Rashash. The Rashash writes, Nira didavka nokat onsa. He thinks Rashi meant it on purpose. And he tells you, look up Taisvis Lamed Hei Amid Beis. Okay, so we looked up Taisvis Lamed Hei Amid Beis. What does Taisvis Lamed Hei Amid Beis say? Number 12. So Taisvis and Ksubis Lamed Hei Amid Beis. Lamed Hei Amid Beis, one chav Tesla Manal, so we'll get there a few weeks. Get Mr. Shem, a few weeks, we'll get there, fine. Months, years, whatever, okay. Who's counting, right? Zok Tais and Ksubis, he's discussing a Gemara over there, not so relevant for us. But look at the V'oimiri. Zok Tais, V'oimiri. The Garcina lay, the Girsa is, the Shaykh Lemikri Le'oinis Knas Tfei Milipitoi. The Girsa is that you can call an Oinis a bigger Knas than Mefate, Mishem the Oinis Shose Ba'atzitzoi. Zok Tais is, whatever the Cheshbanos over there is, but the Gemara says Tais is that Oinis is a bigger Knas than Mefate. Why? Because Oinis has a double whammy. You got to pay the money and you got to be stuck marrying this girl no matter how ugly she is. Shaysa batzitza, the Mishnah says. You're stuck with this girl. Veloisi Elisha Balkarcha. You got to marry. She can be as whatever she is, you got to marry. But Mefata, you have options. Mefata, you can opt out, as we learned. So therefore, Zok Taisvis, Mefata is a bigger, is a lesser knas, while Oinis is a bigger knas. Okay.
Wait, the man can opt out of Mefata?
The man can opt out of Mefata, yeah. Now, what does this do for our sugya? So l'chayru, what the Rashash wanted is he meant to say like this, that you see from this Taisvis that in the world of Knas, when you think of Knas, what's the real Knas? That's Oinus. Why is that a real Knas? Because it carries a double whammy. It carries a financial payment plus a stuck, built-in marriage no matter what.
And it's an absolute, because in the Fata, if he marries her, there's no Knas.
That's right.
So that's the only time it's a bullet.
Exactly. So there was Zok Taisvis, Oinus is a stronger level of Knas. Now, I would have learned the Rashash, or for that matter, I would have learned Taisus, that the reason why Oinus is a bigger whammy is because you have to pay it no matter what. But you'll see that the Achrayim didn't learn like that. The Achrayim learned Oinus is a bigger whammy because you got to marry her no matter what. But that's the bigger whammy.
But the penalty is what's focused on.
No, because that's the Chiddush over here. This is what we're going to get to in 2 seconds. The Achrayim want to learn from this Taisus that when we talk about the Knas of Mefata and Oinus, it's not just money. When the Torah says, if you're honest, you got to pay, it's not just the $50. It's the $50 and part of the payment and part of the knas is the marriage. Again, I wouldn't have learned like that in Taisvis. What? By Oinus. And by Mefat, it depends. So I wouldn't have learned like that. I would have learned the Chiddush of Taisvis is that by Oinus, the money is a real knas because you got to pay it no matter what. As opposed to Mefat, you can wiggle out of it. I would have learned that, but that's not what Taisvis says. Taisvis says, because Mishum the Oinus shasta batzitzai. Because by Oinus, you have to drink no matter what. Meaning, by Oinus, you got to marry her. Meaning, says Rosh Hashanah, that the marriage is part and parcel of the knas.
Maybe by drinking, maybe he means you have to pay the money.
No, no, if you look in the Mishnah, it's very clear. No, no, you look in the Mishnah in Ksubis, it's clear that it's referring to the marrying. Yeah. Yeah. So, Lachar, what comes out, Rabbi Say?
What happens if the guy doesn't marry? You're talking about a guy who's
ma'ani. Oh, very good. Very good. Oh, so we have to figure that out. Good, I want to get to that right now. So let's try to understand this. So, Lachar, what you see from this Rosh Hashanah is that the lumdis, so to say, and it's really from Taisus that the lumdis of the knas is not just money. What's part of the knas is the marrying. That's part of the payment. Only by Mefata, not by Oinus. So this takes us to the shadow we started last week. Let's say the guy walks over and he says, I'm moide that I was ma'anisir. Does he get out of the marriage also? Or does he only get out of the payment? Moide be knas pater. So if you hold that part of the knas is the marriage, so I'm exempt from that also. So we shouldn't talk about the shadow. The Pesachi Tshuva, of course, the Tshuva's Radvaz declares Yeshayla. The Tshuva's Radvaz says, absolutely not. They're two separate things. The payment is the payment, the Knas is the Knas. They don't go hand in hand. And the Achrayim want to bring Raya's that's...
Which is the Knas?
The Knas is the $50. The marrying her is a separate thing. So you got to marry her no matter what. Even if you admit to it, you still have to marry her. The Knas is the payment. So Moedib Knas, part you don't have to pay her. And marry is not a Knas. It's a separate thing. I mean, it sounds like from this Taisvis is that part of the Knas is a package of payment and marriage. So therefore, says the Radvaz, let's say you're married to Knas, you get out of both. Both. Says the Radvaz, not true. Right, based on this Taisvis.
I'm saying, how do you explain the Taisvis if you say it's not part of
the Knas? So again, I think okay, we'll come back to that in a second. But if you look in some Rishonim, Lamosh, if you look in the tour in Kuf Ein Zayin, he writes that there's a Knas by Oinus that you have to marry her. He doesn't mean it's a Lomdish Knas. I don't think so. I think he just means it's part of the penalty. Again, there's this knas in alumnus and there's knas in practicality. He just means to say that part of the practical punishment is that you have to marry her. Does it mean it's alumnus of Maidim Knas Potem? Not necessarily.
If you want to marry her, it's
not
a knas.
No, by Oinus.
You want to marry her?
Oh, yeah, but let's say you don't want to, you still have to do it. So it means the Torah structured it this way as a punishment. Let's take a look over here in Rabbi Chanan in Kovit Shurim number 13. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes like this in his Kovit Shurim. He says, on this Tosfos, he says, Mashma, this that he has to marry her no matter what, who betayras knas, says Reb Chanan, he learned Tosfos not like me. He learned it's part and parcel of the knas. Part of the fact that you have to marry this girl, whether you like it or not, that's also part of the knas. Vim Kain says Reb Chanan, ain't no, he was man azeh. And therefore, it's not practical today. Why? Because we don't have knasas bizman azeh. So if it says Reb Chanan, you don't have this part either. Meaning, one would have thought that maybe you don't have the payment, but you number 13. So Reb Chanan, if Tosfos is correct on the first page, this is all last week's stuff. The first 13? The first 13. Okay. First, it's in it's like in the center of the page. I tried to fit it perfectly in. You understand what kind of math goes into trying to figure angles and stuff to figure out where everything fits. Such a b'chanan, you see from Tosfos that part of the knas is not just the money; it's also the marriage. Deva says a b'chanan halach l'maisa. You can't have that b'zman hazeh. We don't have knasas b'zman hazeh. Bezin doesn't have the power to enforce knasas. They can only enforce chiyuvim. If that's true, they also can't force you to marriage. So if a guy is ma'anis a girl, and we have eidim in the whole shebang, they still can't force you to marry her. Why? Because that's part of the kanas. Bezdin does not have the right, the jurisdiction today, to enforce kanasas. But he writes, in other rishonim, they write it is prevalent today. Why? The ain't a kanas. So Zakhtar B'chon, that's good for the machloikis rishonim. The machloikis rishonim to whether or not today we can force a ma'anis to marry the girl is totally, do we look at that as part of the kanas? Or we look at it as a dovet study, a separate obligation.
How does the force, does the guy absolutely
refuse? However they would, I don't
know.
Back in the day. Rishonim are talking about this. Rishonim. The times that Rishonim.
Based in today.
The times that Rishonim, they had some way of forcing the guy to marry her. I don't know exactly what they did. No. We spoke about this, yeah. Again, it doesn't sound good, but strictly speaking, on the books, there's no punishment for this stuff.
Wait. Time of Rishonim. This is 20th century.
Rav Chanan's quoting the Rishonim.
He's quoting
the Rishonim. He's saying that the Smak and the Sefer Achinuch, those are all the Rishonim talking. What we do today, we don't do anything today.
Right.
Again, today we, you know, we obviously we don't endorse it, but we're not going to do too much today. Maybe. Again, if that's right. So let's just finish this up. So Dr. Bochanan, again, Rabbi said this all last week's share, which means we're behind. So we got to finish up. So Dr. Bochanan, but not so fast. He says, "V'chein mochach medevei haramban b'sefer mitzvahs mitzvah reish lamed heishe kasav ve'ei mitzvahs asay knas." The Ramban says a very interesting love this. He says mitzvahs can't be knasas. Interesting. A mitzvah can't be a knas. Mitzvahs and knasas are penalties. The two don't mix. So the Ramban ve'ei mitzvahs asay knas she'in loyim b'mashet stavinu lasoy soy she'ye knas b'shum ponim. It can't be what Hashem wanted you to do is a penalty. Okay. So what's the Ramban telling you? Clearly, marrying her, it says in the Torah, "V'loy sielish," you got to marry her. So, after Ramban, it can't be a knas. Mitzvah satera can't be punishments. Frak Rabbi Chanan, why not? Ask Rabbi Chanan, Tzarechian. Do Agabi Tashlumi knasik mitzvah because of chamishim kesef yishalim? Klad Rabbi Chanan chakir ledis. Let's say the guy decides he doesn't want to pay the $50 to the father. What did he do wrong? Obviously, he's a low life. He's a thug. He's a bum. What did he do wrong? So Pashim Shah, you'll say he didn't pay up his mamonis to Gechiv. Says Rabbi Chanan, not only did he not pay, but he was mevatel mitzvah saseh. There's a mitzvah saseh to pay the father. So besides for just not being yashris, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. So Rabbi Chanan, but according to the Ramban, there is no such thing as a mitzvah saseh, which is a penalty. This is his argument on the Ramban. The Ramban said you can't have a situation where you have a mitzvah saseh to do something and it's a penalty. For Rabbi Chanan, why not? The Torah says, pay the father 50 shekel, and that's a mitzvah. Again, can you imagine the guy, you know, put on the gartel, gives the father $50 from a guy. Okay, sounds right. If it's a mitzvah, you should say he probably went to the mikvah first. We'll leave it at that, right? This can grace the tzaddik, but that's what the Ramban's, that's what Rabbi Chanan. So that's part of Rabbi Chanan's argument. Rabbi Chanan's argument is if the payment is a mitzvah, why can't the marrying her be a mitzvah? So Dr. Rabbi Chanan, I don't get it. V'loma in loyma the gam the chav shishachanei mitzvah. That's a yifriya shivcha.
It means when it's an outside mitzvah, it's already a mitzvah to marry somebody. Maybe not to steal a woman, but it's a mitzvah to get married.
But here the Torah said v'loy sielish. The Torah said you should marry her. So doesn't that make it a mitzvah?
That might not be the mitzvah you're talking about. You might have a partial tradition of marrying is a mitzvah.
No, instead the Ramban's point was that anything that's a knas can't be a mitzvah can't be a penalty. Mitzvahs are mitzvahs.
Right. But so it's a mitzvah because it's tradition, so it can't be a penalty. not because this particular thing the Torah said marry this woman. Yeah. The Torah said get married
right.
in general.
Right.
Something that's a mitzvah in general,
no.
The Torah wouldn't give that as a knas.
It doesn't sound like that from the Ramban. The Ramban's point is if the Torah tells you to do something, that can't be that the Torah is penalizing you. That's what it sounds like from the Ramban.
Why?
So Dr. Ramban, let's finish Rabbi Chanan. So Rabbi Chanan finishes off, and he writes, he says, V'shem Adasa Ramban, lo'yima d'chol ha'knos is ein ha'mitzvah sasei. Dr. Rabbi Chanan, it comes out according to the Ramban, that every knas is taken out of mitzvah. Elo dinim shechayovim l'shalim. Anytime there's a payment in the Torah, that's a knas. Let's say boishes. The Gemara says boishes is a knas.
Yeah.
So if a guy decides he's not paying boishes, the guy beats up a guy in the street, and he has to pay boishes. The Mishnah says boishes. The Gemara says boishes is a knas. So according to this Rabbi Chanan, if I don't pay the knas, so what did I do wrong? Did I mevatel a mitzvah? The answer is no, because that's not a mitzvah. I didn't pay up my choiva, which is a separate issue. But the mitzvah sasei of mishashlomes haboishes, that doesn't exist. That's Rabbi Chanan's chiddush in these rishonim. I just want to end off with one last har on the Mishnah, and believe that the next week we'll get back into some of the sugyas in the Mishnah, is the Gavaldika Ramon Shulchan Aruch. This just gives you an idea of how the Vilna Gaon's brain worked, if we can even try to understand it. There's a Ramon Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Hilchas Nida, that most of us have seen before, we probably didn't even think about it. The Ramon writes in number 13, Ve'ein chiluk bein pnuya, the second number 13, on the bottom of the page. Dr. Ramon, Ve'ein chiluk bein pnuya l'nesua l'inyin iser nida. So the Ramah writes in the first siman in your day of Hilchas Nida Kuf Pei Gimel, he says you should know that Isser Nida is not only for a married woman, contrary to many high school boys and girls, right? The Isser Nida is for a single girl as well. There's no difference. L'inyan Isser Nida ki cholabol anida chayv kares. If a guy lives with a girl who's single and she's a Nida, he gets kares. A guy lives with a married woman who's a Nida is also kares. The Isser Nida doesn't change being married or not married. That's the Ramah on Shulchan Aruch. Says the Gaon, where did he know this from? How did Ramah know this? Zok the Goyin, it's our Mishnah in Ksubas. What? Where do you say anything in our Mishnah in Ksubas? Zok the Vilna Goyin, number 14. Kemosh Amar per Gimel de Krisus, Ubereish per Gimel de Ksubas va'al Hanida. What do you see from our Mishnah? Zok the Vilna Goyin, because our Mishnah said that if you live in Ma'anis Hanida, there's Knas. How is there only way to have Knas if she's single? Because if she's married, there's Mises Bezdin. There would be no Knas. So if the Mishnah says for living with the Nida there's Knas, it must be the Nida is single. Oh, says Zok de Vilna Gaon. You see from the Mishnah that being single still has the status of a Nida. Elamai Zok de Vilna Gaon. That's Pshan. This Ramon Shulchan Aruch.
Whoa.
It's Kavaldik.
Wait.
It's fantastic, this Vilna Gaon.
How'd you jump from Naira to Nida?
Because again, the Mishnah, one of the cases in the Mishnah is if you live with a girl who's a Nida, the Naira is a Nida. The first Mishnah.
It
says, Vala Nida Yeshlem Knas. Our Mishnah, number one. The second to last line of the Mishnah says, Vala Nida Yeshlem Knas. One of the cases, if you live with a Nida, there's still Knas. So says the Vilna Gaon, what type of Nida is she? She's a married Nida? Can't be. Because if she's to be married, there would be no Knas because you'd get Mises Bezdin. Elamai, she's single. I thought there's no Nida when you're single. Zok the Mishnah, there is Nida when you're single. It's Kavaldik of Vilna Gaon. But the truth is, if you look in the page in Shulchan Aruch, the Teres HaShlomim, who was written by the Shvus Yaakov Reicher, mid to late 1600s, he brings up Kavaldik a point. He says, why is there Nida by Pnuya? Famous Gemara Nida, we spoke about this when we started learning Mila a long time ago, Reb Loz de Mila. Gemara says in the name of Reb Meir, why do we have the concept of Nida? So the Gemara says, because if you would be able to live with your spouse all the time, you'd eventually get sick and you'd get sick of her. So the Lashon Gemara, don't quote me, so the Gemara says. And if Hashem did us a favor, he gave us a timeout. So Tainid Reb Yaakov Reisha, that makes a lot of sense for a married woman. It doesn't make any sense for a single girl. So fact, Reb Yaakov Reisha, the Shvus Yaakov, the Teres HaShalom, and the Sarah Shachanar, what's Takab Shat in the Ramah? Why Taka is there Nida even by a Pnuya? So he says, you know,
you can't live with
this. Right. Well, he says either that whole Gemara was old, Reb Meir was going like Reb Shimon, it was Darish time of the Kra. We don't paskin Darish time of the Kra, but he just mamish has a whole page where he discusses it. It's a Gavaldika Ara. If you take the Gemara seriously, again, the Gemara Pashas is just giving you a background. It's not giving you a halachal maisa. That's why we have Nida. We only have Nida because of that. But it's just an interesting Ara from Yaakov Reisher that he says that L'chayra, if that's the Pshat, like the Gemara Nida tells us, then why Taka is it true? But nonetheless, that's the halacha and the Vilna Gaon sort from our Mishnah. To me, that's godless. Right. Again, the point is she has, again, we're trying to figure out, in order for her to have Knash, she can't be married.
I'm saying, in other words, the same way we use this by the Eishes Akiv or whatever.
Right, all those cases we made her not married. Every case we bend over backwards to make her single.
Right.
Right, so the same case might need them. Maybe they still need to buy Takabai Tanuya.
Yeah.
To buy an Isha who's Niskar. So
she's also single. Tanuya doesn't necessarily mean never.
If you're in Niskadish, at least in that Torah consideration.
No, but then she got divorced, right? Rashi said she was Niskasha Viniskarsha. She right. can't be married. If she were to be married, there'd be no Knas. So we got to set up the Mishnah has to flow single, single, single. So it's just, to me, it's godless how the Vilna going thought.
Let's say the Pinuya went to the Mikvah.
She shouldn't be anything. Come on.
She's not
anything, right? 100%. But that's the whole tumult. They're always busy with this tumult. Take the girls to the mikvah, not to the mikvah. Okay. We could talk about that at a different time. But in any case, that's the Vilna Gaon's pshat in this mission. Okay, but then the next